We're going to go over this morning. Last Saturday, the Lord spoke to me. He told me that I was going to end the teaching that I was doing, dealing with us, living like an overcomer, dealing with the things because there's so much tragedy in people's lives and things. And he spoke to me and told me he wanted to go over to teach on the subject of spiritual jurisdiction. I had many years ago taught on this, and I haven't done for a long time, and so I got out the notes and dusted them, and I hadn't been over in that area because I got in so many areas. But he began to speak to me, and he said about, because here, if we don't understand in this area, spiritual jurisdiction is where a lot of difficulties. We can look at things, you know, we want to change, and we want to move of God in our nation. But understand this, if we're not doing right things, and not doing what's right, you can pray night and day to have something happen. But if I'm doing things to make other things happen, it don't do me any good to be asking God, God, move and do this while I'm doing something that's stopping that from happening. You need to understand this. The Christian world has the idea that, well, if we want a move of God, we just pray and it just comes. But it has to do with what we do, what we're doing. Am I moving in the direction so God can bring these things to pass? One of the things that God wants to, God is trying to bring the church back into alignment today. He's trying to bring it back in line. Because there will not be move of God in many churches if they don't line up with things. It's not going to happen. If you go back and study the healing revivals of the 1950s, huge moves of God. Yet there was churches where there was, and most churches in America had no hardly any move of God or any of it going on. Yet there was enormous amounts of things that were happening, taking place. Well, it didn't just happen. Was it because those other churches didn't want God to move? No, I believe they probably wanted God to move, but they didn't have the right beliefs. They were not doing the right things that would allow God to do what He wanted to do. He could only move maybe some in part, but He couldn't do all that He wanted to do. And so we need to understand these things because people, you know, I've heard over the years that people say, well, you know, God's speaking about a great revival to coming. Well, if God is speaking about He wants to bring something, I know this fact. It don't just happen just because He wants to bring it. People have to line up. God wants everybody saved. Is everybody saved? No, somebody has to do something. There's a man's side to everything. But we always like to push some things over on God's side, and it's all about Him. And But we have things in dealing with obedience. One of the things the scriptures I want us to look at is in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. And Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in dealing with that chapter about gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to focus on the first verse there because something that the Apostle Paul made statement to the New King James says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, I want you to understand what it says. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts is not in the Greek. That was added by men. It says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And actually, when we talk about this, the word gift that they used and added into there, it really, when we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if we would go over and teach on those, we need to know that people use the terms about gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in the Greek, the word gift using concerning the Holy Spirit's gifts in the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit there, that word gift is not a regular word like gift, like something given to you that belongs to you. It's more like an endowment. It's something that operates through you or does to you. It's not yours to operate and do what you want with it. That's not the word gift there. That's where most people say, well, you know, I have a certain gift. Well, what do you mean by that? People say, well, I have a gift of healing. Then they think, well, I just turn that thing on and off. Well, no, you don't. Healing gifts and manifestations like that are not yours. They operate, it's clearly stated, operates as the Spirit wills, not as you will, as the Spirit wills. Now, in starting off, I believe the translators wanted to do right because they said, well, I guess they looked and they said the subject's talking about these gifts or manifestations. And I like to use the word when talking about gifts of spirits. I like to use the term manifestations because it's more clear to what happens. It's a spirit manifests himself through individuals in certain ways and rather manifestations. But here, this word gift should have never been put there because it takes away from what the Apostle Paul was saying. Because the word there, gifts, wasn't in. And when the term spiritual is really, the Greek term is plural. Actually, Paul made the statement and he said spirituals. He didn't say spiritual. He said spirituals. That's what he said. He's talking about, and he made this statement, he says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Really, what Paul was making a statement of is, I want you to understand spiritual things, is what he's talking about. Paul was talking about, I want you to understand spiritual things. He didn't want just people to understand about spiritual gifts. People focus many times on spiritual gifts and know nothing about the realm of the Spirit, how it operates. And then they wonder why gifts don't operate. If you don't understand things, the Spirit. Really, one translation I read that was written and put down, I thought was really good, because it says, and Kenneth Hagin used to use this in saying it from there. He said, this verse says, now concerning things of and pertaining to the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant. Things of and pertaining to the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. When I came into the kingdom and got born again, there was a lot of good teaching coming out of areas about spiritual things. Today, they're not. Today, there's not. Most things are dealt toward the physical. We were taught, years ago, and about, looking back in the area, whether it's finances or whatever it was like that, in the areas of giving, things were taught on a spiritual level where they turn around, and today they got around and people just understand it. The whole thing is about giving money to get stuff, and people get all whacked out in it. But they don't understand the realm of the Spirit and how it works. They don't understand that because there's no spiritual teaching on it. It's all from the natural. It's all getting everything you can from the natural and all the natural side, and it's not hooking up into the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit's an unseen realm. And what you're going to do in this earth, acting out in this realm, you're going to be doing things that don't seem natural to this realm. This is why people don't like it. Because you look like you're weird and you talk like you're weird. And you are compared to the world system. Most people want to be, because everybody around them is in the world system and they want to please the people in the world system around them. They don't want to look goofy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus looked goofy. He walked a different way. The Bible tells us to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, you know what? There's going to be people that ain't going to like you, and they're going to think you're a nut and you're in trouble, and they're going to tell you, you got a devil. That's what's wrong with you. They are. I'm serious. You're going to do that. That's what's going to happen. If you want to walk like Jesus, Jesus didn't talk like the others talked about things. He didn't do what others did about things. And we have to find out, because he was operating in a different realm. He was in the natural realm, but he didn't walk by that realm. That wasn't the standard that he followed or he walked in. There was a spiritual realm. He understood how that realm worked. I mean, just like today, this is why they've taken the things where Jesus said you can say to a mountain and tell it to move. And that's why everybody says, he's talking about the mountains in your life. The reason they do that is because they don't understand spiritual things, is they don't get it. They don't get the fact because, it seems whacked out. Now, Jesus couldn't have really been saying, such a thing. You could have really moved the mountain and you could really, make a tree move. He couldn't be really talking about those things. And that's why they throw that, you need to talk to the mountain in your life. Well, I want to tell you what, you may have a physical mountain sometime. You might have a physical things that you got to change. This is why healing's so hard for people. You got physical things that need to be changed, and they're out here saying, they change how far the power of God will go. It's like a person. Yeah, I tell you, if you can't move a headache, you ain't going to move cancer. If you can't. If you think you couldn't move that mountain, well, forget about it. Because I will tell you, that cancer in your mountain, in your body, will seem bigger than Mount Everest. Because it's right in you working. And if you don't understand spiritual things and you haven't practiced it, and you listen to the guy who keeps trying to tell you that God is limited in how he's going to work through you, you're going to go in there. And that's why we have to be very careful in these areas. God wants you to understand about spiritual things and how they work, how the realm of the Spirit operates, what's going on. Whether you operate in it or not, it matters not. It is going on all the time around you. The laws of the Spirit are activated and running, and they're determining our courses of our life and things about what we're doing, whether you're ignorant about it or not. It matters not. It just, If we had radiation in our atmosphere here today, a lot of nuclear radiation would be in our atmosphere, and we would be here and it'd be in our air around us, we wouldn't see it, but we would be breathing it in. It would be affecting us whether we realize it or not. It matters not. The laws that govern how that works is going to affect you and can kill you whether you see it or not. It does not matter. And this is one of the problems if I don't understand the unseen realm and how it works. Christianity ain't just about doing some nice stuff and being a good person. Because the laws that govern this kingdom and the things that we're to walk in is in a kingdom that's unseen. We don't see it with the eye. But yet its effect has more effect on anything. When the Apostle Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's what we're dealing with. When he talked about putting on the armor of God, he's not talking about some natural stuff that you do in the natural. He's not talking about that. You can't physically put on the armor of God. He's talking about the inner man. He's talking about the building up of the inner man and having the inner man ready to fight a fight in the spirit realm of what you're going to have to deal with. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a battle that you're going to have to deal with. And it's an unseen battle with an unseen foe. But if all you can see is the natural realm, well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because the devil will lick you every time. He'll lick you. So we need to understand that. We need to understand, get an understanding of spiritual jurisdiction. You know, in the realm of the spirit, there are laws of the spirit realm. And just, you know, there's laws that govern this physical realm, there's laws that govern the spirit realm. And you have to understand that. You have to understand these laws that govern things. Now, when we have in Romans 3:27, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, where is boasting then? He said, is it excluded? He said, by what law? Of works? He says, no, but by the law of faith. In other words, there is a law of faith. There is a law of faith. Mike talked about the law of faith this morning when he was talking about faith, about confession. That is part of the law of faith. If you don't get it, And most people don't. And I'm sorry, over the years, I've taught a lot of people on this subject, and they don't get it. They just go on their merry way. They don't realize that there's a law about what we speak. What I believe in my heart, good or bad, and I say with my mouth, I am activating the law of the Spirit. I'm activating a law that in the spirit realm is going to try to bring something to pass for me, whether it's good or it's bad. That's in effect. See, people who live in the natural, well, you know, they get into extremes on that. Get into extremes. This world's in a mess because people don't take this stuff seriously. That's why it's in a mess. That's why people's lives are in a mess. It's because they don't take these things seriously. They're walking along and just walking a path. They don't realize about what spiritual law. Spiritual law has the greatest effect around you of anything. Spiritual law. I can loose the devil into my life to do things by me not walking in line with that spiritual law and keeping in line with it, keep it from hurting me. That law can either, just like gravity, be a blessing to us, or if you jump off a roof, you won't consider gravity being a blessing when you hit the ground. But it can be a great blessing too. Gravity is a blessing. Aren't you glad? You know, you just don't float off somewhere and float out into space and, you know. Well, it's a blessing, but if things are used properly, gravity is a wonderful thing. Well, in the spirit realm, we need it. And it's very dangerous. Many people have hurt themselves, and they did it, and they said it was the devil. And it wasn't really the devil per se. They turned the devil loose on themselves by refusing to fall in line with spiritual law. They don't think it's that important. They don't think it's, well, you know, it's okay. We can get around with this. Well, we also, we need to understand this. When you're going to deal with the areas of power, number one, you're going to have to deal with the law of faith. The law of faith deals with power. If you have a power problem, you have a faith problem. Faith is what allows the power of God to do what it does. The miraculous comes through faith. That's how it's happened. You know, you go over to Hebrews 11 and they call it, you know, the hall of faith. And these are the champions of faith. And it talks about, you know, the miracles. It talks about these people, what they accomplished and did. They did it by faith. By faith, God's power worked on their behalf, brought things to pass. You need to understand that. Your faith is tied to the things of power. If you want to get over in the areas of this, you're going to have to hook up into the law of faith. You're going to have to walk in right with this law of faith, putting yourself into motion. Like Mike was saying this morning, you get the right voice, begin to say the right things about things, get believing the right stuff in your heart, speaking the right stuff to set that law into motion onto your benefit to bring up to pass the miracle that you want. And no matter how much Jesus wants to do a miracle, it doesn't matter how much he wants. Jesus walked through crowds and wanted to do miracle, and he could only have one person he could do a miracle for because there's only one person to believe. He wanted to heal anybody that was sick in the whole crowd and sometimes could only heal one person. And the rest of them sit around wondering, well, I don't understand why I don't understand how they got healed and I didn't. Well, I learned years and years ago why that happened. I know it. It had to do with the law of faith. It dealt with the unseen, because I always find the person that don't know how it happened, this is what they are. They're fleshly. They can't figure it out because it's in the unseen realm, and they don't know about that. They live by the seen realm. I don't understand, God healed them. They aren't as good as I am. Well, I know when they thought that way, immediately I knew that that person was better off than they are. Because if they understood anything about the law of faith and its operation, they'd have never made such a dumb statement. See, we need to understand, we're walking in this world. There's unseen laws, even though we don't see them. We need to understand, they are in effect. Those laws are in effect. Now, we have James made this statement in James 2:8. He said, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, you do well. So love is called a royal law. There's a law, the law of love. The law of love he is speaking about here is not the love of the world. It's not how the world loves. It's not how, like, most people get married. That's why there's so much divorce today. Because people get married according to the world's law of love. I like you. You're nice to me. You're cool. As soon as they do something wrong, I don't love you anymore. You didn't treat me right. And now love is gone. It's out the window. You know, there it goes. Flew away. That's the law. That is the law of this world's love, which operates from the devil's kingdom. That's how the devil wants you to operate. He wants you to live off your feelings. He wants you to say when your mate's nice to you, then I love them. And if they do anything wrong, and say, boy, they just don't love me. And that's what he wants you to do. That's the way he wants you to walk. He wants you, even if your mate is wrong about things, he wants you to get mad and get into the wrong with them. That's what he wants you to do. So now you can both get in the wrong so the devil can come and eat your lunch. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come and tear things up. He's going to come and mess things up. That's what he's going to do. He wants to get you off base. Because we need to understand here the statement, well, there is a royal, and it's called the royal law. So this law takes a very high place. It's a royal law. It's the law of love. And he says, so that's law of love. It's like Galatians 5:6 says, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. That word working there is actually the Greek word that we use for energy. In other words, the energy of faith is love. In other words, if I'm going to walk in unforgiveness to people and I'm going to, you know, just fight and fuss with people all the time and doing things like that, my faith is going to be infected. My faith will not have the energy it needs. See, some people say, I don't know, I just my faith. Well, you got to check yourself. See, people say, well, I just study the Word more. Studying the Word may be no help. Maybe what you need to do is start walking in love. Maybe if somebody's done something to you, you need to forgive them. You know, I learned over time, as Brother Hagin used to always tell us, he said, you know, to have a tender heart, but have a hide like a rhinoceros. You know, if people shoot do stuff, just let it fall off of you and knock it. Don't pay no attention to it. You got to be like that. Why, if you want your faith to work? See, we're talking about laws and operation. These things are working. These things are. God don't throw off a switch tomorrow and turns off gravity and that stuff. These laws work just like gravity. Gravity works all the time. And the way I figure, probably as long as we're going to be in the face of this earth, I don't think he's going to turn it off. I think it's going to stay here. And I want you to know, these laws of the Spirit are eternal. They're forever. They'll never get turned off. So if you can turn, they can be a blessing to you or your greatest detriment. You know, it's like playing with electricity. You know, it's all right. You get a cord and you can pick up a cord and plug it in the wall and you can go somewhere as long as that there cord is covered good, you know, and there's no breaks in it. But you get stuff and you mess around with it long, you might find yourself electrocuted. There's people do those things all the time because, you know, they don't pay attention to things. You know, but electricity is such a wonderful thing, isn't it? Would you want to live in a society without it? I've been to societies that don't have it. I saw how they have to live and what they do. And I said, oh my God, I'm so fortunate. This is wonderful. You know? And, you know, all the good we have. Yet, people die every year from electricity. Electricity kills people all the time. Well, is electricity bad? No, electricity bad. There are people who don't pay attention to the laws. And they do things not paying attention to the laws. And so, therefore, they end up hurt or, you know, maybe even dead because of those laws. And spiritual laws are of no difference. There is absolutely no difference to those spiritual laws. They could be a great blessing to you, or those laws can hurt you. So we want to walk in line with the laws of God. There's a law, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit. In Romans 8:2, Paul said, for the law of the Spirit and life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This law determines whether you operate in this law, whether or not you're going to go to heaven or you're going to end up in hell. The law of the Spirit in life has to do about accepting Jesus Christ. When a person by faith receives Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus saves that individual, takes them and turns from a child of devil into a child of God. That's what it does. They get born again. And that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is one of the great problems of why we have so many people don't get saved today, because people have all their ideas about how you get saved. Oh, well, just ask Jesus in your heart. Just do this. Paul wrote in that Romans how you get that, how you respond to the law of the Spirit in life. You respond to Jesus, believing that Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead, and you say it with your mouth. Paul, why? Activating the law of faith. The law of faith and the law of Spirit of life run hand in hand and must be done like the Word says. This is why so many people go through religious things and they say, well, I don't understand. They accepted Jesus and their life didn't change. They didn't accept Jesus according to the law of the Spirit of life and the law of the Spirit of faith. They didn't do that. Just because somebody does some religious junk, that don't make it so. That's why we have so many unchanged people today. Because there's so many weird ministers out here preaching such weird things, saying how you do stuff. There's laws. You know, there's laws that govern gravity. And if you want to fly in an airplane, you want to make an airplane that has wings and flies, that wing has to be designed in a certain way, passing through the atmosphere to bring pressure under it, so it operates against the law of gravity so that plane gets in the air. You can't go out here and just stick any old piece of wood or anything out of you and then just go be an airplane. But this is what Christianity does all the time. But you just seem to me sometimes the most biggest knuckleheads are Christians. They just think anything will work, anything. You can just overlook any law or anything. It don't matter. You know, God loves us. You know, it's like, yeah, and he's tired of burying us all the time. And he's tired because people doing crazy stuff, they think that we just go do stuff. We don't just go do. There's laws that we're dealing with. And we have to follow in line with these laws. I have seen this already. You know, the Lord, when he spoke to Kenneth Hagin back years ago, and in all of Kenneth Hagin's books that he had or published all had the sinner's prayer in the back. The sinner's prayer? That sinner's prayer that he had there, Jesus Christ himself gave him that prayer. Told him, if you will do this prayer and get a person to believe those words, and so he said, the person will be saved every time if they will believe that and say it. Jesus said, many people are not getting saved. They're following men's traditions on how you get saved, and they never get saved. It's in that. Jesus gave it to him. Jesus tried to tell them, you know what? People, I'm amazed because even I'm around Rhema people and they don't even pay no attention to it and go on their little religious ways and go on and just, well, just ask Jesus, come in your heart. Yeah, I'll just do. That's not what the Scripture says. Look it up in Scripture and you show me a Scripture that says to do that. Fine, show me a Scripture that says to do that. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. You show me a Scripture that says that. It don't. They don't bring people to faith. They got these religious ideas and these religious things, and we wonder why things get so messed up. Because their spiritual laws have been set in, and you can't go against them. You can't go against those spiritual laws. And understand that. You know, I don't want to invent another religion. My God, we got so many of them. My God, this one was good enough, and Jesus gave it. I'm not really interested in anything else. Let's take this one and run with it. Hallelujah. Let's walk in it. So we want to look, though, is dealing in the areas, because we're going to talk about, in dealing with jurisdictions, we're going to do some things. One of the things I want to do is talk about the law, dealing in the areas of the law of authority, because there is a law of authority. And I want you to go to look at Romans. In the book of Romans of the 13th chapter, there is a law dealing with authority, and I want us to look at that, because this is one of the things that this is where we're going to with spiritual jurisdiction. We're going to begin to look at these things. Because as we look at these things, we're going to look at boundaries of authority through this thing of dealing with man, dealing with angels, dealing with demons, dealing with God, dealing, you know, with all of us. And we need to understand, people don't know where their lines of authority are. People don't know, you know, many people are trying to do things out of the line of their own authority, and they wonder why things don't work. But here Paul wrote concerning authority, and I want to read this to you. And I had, you know, studied these things before. I'd been looking over and studying it, and just something didn't seem right to me. And so this morning, this is the reason I had my Greek New Testament out, because I wanted to see what some of these things said in the Greek and how they were done in the Greek. But it starts off, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. He said, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have the praise thereof. Now, I want you to see this, because this lays down and tells us their authority, dealing in the areas. Now, this is one area of authority, dealing with governing authorities in this earth. There's governing authorities. Now, I want you to see this, because he makes a statement when he said, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And in the Greek, it is a word is plural. It deals with authorities. Then it says, for there is no authority except from God. And the next time it says, and the authorities. Now, in if you have a King James Bible, the King James Bible says powers. Actually, powers is a very, you know, not really a good word to use there, because it's not talking about powers. It's dealing with authorities, people in authority. It's not dealing with people with power. It's dealing with people with authority. Who has the authority? You could have power and do things under power, but didn't have the authority to do it, and you're a renegade. Just because you have the power to do something. I have the power to walk into a bank and pull a gun, and I could have the power to do that, but I would be in a whole lot of trouble doing it. So power, you have the power to do something, doesn't mean. We're talking about the authority to do it. He made the statement here. He says, for there is no authority except from God. And then they, in the New King James, and they said, and they put the authorities, and in the King James, they used and pluralized it and said, and the powers, and it's not plural. It says, and the authority that exists, it should read like this, the authority that exists is appointed by God. He's talking about God designates offices of authority. Not, that doesn't mean God designates. And see, when they use the term authorities, they're making it sound like the individuals. No, individuals can get under places of authority that God didn't want them in there at all. Men can put people in, but we need to understand this. People say, oh man, we shouldn't have any government. You wouldn't want to live without any government. I'm guarantee you. Because you'd be dead somewhere. And somebody who ever had power would take whatever you had. You want to have authority. God established authority. Authority is not a bad thing. It's the abuse of authority. It's the abuse of authority. God established it. God said this. Now, this is Apostle Paul. Maybe he was just had a little bit too much wine. He told Timothy to drink wine for his stomach. Maybe he had a few too many. And he just decided to say this, and it's not true. He said, therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, here we're dealing with judgment, and I just always cracks me up. These ministers don't believe judgment's taking place. We have judgment taking place, all the people resisting authority. The church world. The church has had a lot of its problems that goes on in the church world today exists of rebellion to authority. For years and years and years, they've been doing it. Christians have been doing it, resisting authority, rebelling against authority all the time. The authority, they don't recognize or treat an authority right. I may not appreciate what Obama does, but I must be careful that I do not disrespect the position of authority that is given by God. And we need to be careful. People abuse things, you know. We can disagree. I'm one of the, Brother Hagin used to tell us, you can disagree without being disagreeable. You know, and people get over into things. They don't show respect for authority. Today in our society, whether it's the church world or whoever, it's all the same. I see no difference among the groups. It's all the same. People think they can just do anything and they don't have to listen to anybody they don't want to, and they can just go ahead. I don't have to. Like today, the church world runs. If I don't like it here, I just pick up and go to another church, just go move over there. I don't like them, I just go to another. People just keep taking them in. I don't. I don't want them heathen to just go run over everybody's place. They don't listen. I don't like it here, don't like it there, don't like it here. And they just jump all around. Everybody wants around. They want to call. Then when they got trouble, they want you to minister to them. I just tell them, ain't no point in ministering to you. What's the point? Ain't going to help them. You're not submitted to any kind of authority. You're out there in rebellion. And you're out there wondering, you say, why am I sick? Dear God, read the book. It'd be easy to find that out. See, we get over. Hey, folks, we need to understand this. We're dealing with all this stuff today, and the people keep saying, you just need to get more faith. You can't be resisting authority and not in submission to the authority that you're around. As I learned this, it's one of the things that God taught me, that I had to turn around when I got saved. I remember the Lord started to deal with me because I worked at Reese Candy Company. And I watched it. The Christians were just as much rebellion in that place against their bosses and that stuff as any group of people. The Christians were in a rebellion. They were always, the authority. And God started to deal with me. He said, of not stepping across the line of authority. Decisions didn't belong to me to make was none of my business to make. It's not my business. My business is to walk in the area of authority that I have. The job that I'm on and what I'm required to do and my authority to do that job and carry it out, that's mine. Other than that, that's not mine. If they do wrong, that's their problem. It isn't me getting myself all messed up and everything else over their problems. And see, I found out people get into their problems, and you know what happens? Every time. Who loses in it? The person that sticks their nose where it shouldn't be. They always end up the loser because they end up worrying about what somebody else ought to be doing. They ought to do it. Hey, you think that's going to change anything doing it that way? One of the things that I found out is I became good at what I did. God taught me, you just get good at what you do. You do your job. You stay with your job and you do it right and you do it good. Because I don't care where you go. I don't care if you go work for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You're going to find things you don't like. And I found Christians like this at Rhema. They get a job at Rhema, didn't like Rhema any more than they liked any other place. They went down the street in the supermarket and got a job. It was the same thing. It didn't matter where they worked. And don't think, if you start stepping across lines of authority, what happens? You're the one that becomes discontent. You're the one that's faith's not going to work. You're the one that's going to have the trouble. It's understanding lines of authority, how important that is. Why? Because it brings judgment. If you don't, you're going to be under judgment. Now, we see judgment take place naturally. I watch people lose their jobs over stepping across the boundaries of authority. And after a while, they're gone and griping and moaning. They fired me. They got this guy working there in charge. It doesn't matter. If he's making bad calls, but if you turn around and do things to bring judgment on you, you got fired. Judgment came upon you. Now, if you don't mind leaving, that's all right. But you need to understand this, how this thing works. People don't, people get all upset about these things and they, get up. But I found this, you can't fight it. It's not for me, it's just like our governmental system. There's no point in me just trying to fight and carry on with these people because that isn't going to make this thing work. The biggest thing that I have to do is I have to walk right, do what's right. We can't become what the people we don't like are. Once you do, you're no better than they are. When we go across these lines of a boundary, we start usurping authority into areas and start taking control of what was not given to us. We need to be very careful because we can end up in huge trouble. Spiritually, we will, and we need to understand because God has set down these guidelines. And it says here, this is God. It says God set this ordinance, or that word ordinance there, we could change that word to law. God set this law in motion. This ordinance is in motion. And about this ordinance, you resist this ordinance, judgment comes. This is one of the great problems that we're dealing with the church world today is because the church world has left the laws of God and has done things, and we've turned around and end up this mess that goes on, even in our nation. There's a lot of things that goes on in our government and everything. It's because of the church. Because the church left the ordinance of God. We're supposed to be the standard of the ordinances of God. That's who we are. We're supposed to be the standard of laws, of law and rule. And we should, the church shouldn't be the most rebellious bunch around and have the most confusion and everything going on. But they got as much as the world got. And they do, so the church is not a place, really, of a standard for the world. He said it for the rulers. They're not a terror to good, but to evil. He says, so do what, he said, Paul wrote, said, do you want to be afraid of the authority? He said, do what is good, and you'll have praise of the same. In other words, falling under this law, we need to understand, he's dealing here with, in our natural realm, dealing with rulers, but understand their authority is spiritual. The offices given by God. God established authority in the earth, not man. God established that there would be leaders and there's going to be followers, and everybody falls under some type of authority where they have their rule. Everybody does. One of the major problems is everybody hates the rulers over them, but never walk in their own authority they have, don't do nothing about it, and expect things to work out okay. You know? We're in a world today, you know, that people don't dealing with their kids and stuff and things like that. They don't walk in the authority they have in their home concerning doing things and following the right laws and rules concerning authority. They don't train a child to follow them. And then you end up nothing but hell in the house and trouble going on. And now, you know, we ought to get the government to do something, you know. No, the government cannot do nothing about your lack of walking in authority. They can't do nothing about that. Because they can step in and look how wonderfully they have done stepping in. But the Christians have as much trouble at this thing as the world does. And it's one of the things is I found this is getting things over in right. That doesn't mean you won't ever have somebody come along and a child want to rebel. Child will want to rebel. The child will, they'll test you out about rebellion. And you will have those things, but it's how you deal with them and how you walk in them. It's what you do with it. If nothing ever changes concerning things, it's a good chance you've been doing it wrong. But you have to walk over your areas of spiritual authority because your spiritual authority is going to affect what goes on. You need to learn to control your mouth concerning things about that. You get in saying the right things. And you got to learn, quit rewarding evil. Quit rewarding evil. You only get parents to do that. Oh, but we love them. No, you don't. You hate them. They're doing evil and you're giving them a reward. Paying bills for them and that stuff when they're doing evil. Something wrong with your mind. You need to get delivered from you. The devil ain't got a problem there. Say, well, we love them. No, that's the love of the world. The love of the world is always trying to straighten out everybody's problem. Doesn't deal with them. We have to. There's laws of authority. And they have authority. Like today, they're talking about older kids living at home all the time and all that stuff. And all this stuff going on. They say, you know, the average, I think it was 24 to like 30-something, 7 or something like that. Or I forget what percentage of them are living at home with their parents. You know, they're doing those, you know, and that there. But see, the whole thing of it is these ones, they're in authority in their life, and the parents trying to take care of them, really overstepping the bounds of the authority. Why doesn't this things ever work out right? Why they never come to the place where they ever make their way in life or ever be able to do anything? It's because the parent is trying to treat them like they're a little kid and trying to walk in the lines of authority. I watch Christians do this all the time. As their kids grow up and get older, and even when they get out, they're always trying to pray to fix their family's life and that stuff, realize it, and you know, things don't go right, they're always worried about stuff, and the reason they are is because it's outside the line of their authority. Now, you get so old, it's just like God dealt with me with Elena. Elena reached the place of 10 years old. He said she could turn around and believe God for healing. He told me, I don't want you to be praying for her. He said, you can't use your faith to heal her. She knows how to use hers. See, the authority changed. She came to the place of knowledge she needed to start to do something. She needed to walk in that, and God changed concerning authority with me and Elena. And he said to her, you can agree with her, but you tell her she knows how to believe you, and said she'll pray, she knows how to believe me, and she can be healed. And she did. She prayed, she believed, and got healed. Now, I'll tell you, there's parents out here today, the kids, you know, 30 years old and married, and they're over there just praying for them now, trying to get them healed, trying to go, all that nonsense going on. You ain't going to live out there in that. It ain't going to be happening. Now, if they're moving in an area, you can join together with them and believe God and set this thing in motion. But you can't have them living like hell and going in their direction and you turn around over here praying, fixing it all the time. If you think that's going to work, I'm going to tell you what. You need a drink. Wow. it might clear your mind. And this is what people are trying to do all the time. And we wonder. This is why there's so much stress and so many Christians are stressed out. This is why, and I'm sad to say, this is why so many women are taking, I forget what percentage was, it's almost half the American women are on some kind of medication for their nerves and stuff. Well, I know why they are. Because they're treating that their 27-year-old like he's a 10-year-old or a 3-year-old, and they're trying to take care of him. Quit being mama and let that little thing grow up. You can't usurp authority over there and make that thing kind of thing work. You know, Kenneth Hagin's wife was dying. She had a goiter, and it got growing in instead of out. And years back then, this was not no easy thing because it had gotten wrapped around in things, this goiter. Brother Hagin got praying about it on this thing, got praying over on the things about it. She ended up, you know, having an operation and made it through, but the doctors, they had told her, they said, well, concerning the operation, looking at it, they said they didn't, they gave her a very small chance that if she'd be operated on, that she'd live. And Brother Hagin was believing her for healing. It was nothing going to change. And the Lord told him, he said, you can't change this. He said, now, he said, you can agree with her. He said, if she can believe that she can go through the operation and she'll be, if she could believe that, he said, you agree with her? He said, she'll live through it. See, he couldn't usurp over. You see, I always tell the time to people, I always just think, well, I'm just going to pray and just take over my mate, you know, they don't have to, and I'll make it work. Get a life. And if anybody could have made that work, it'd been Kenneth Hagin. And he said, no, you get agreement. And so his wife got into agreement. She said she could believe that she would go through the operation and live. Because, see, she, you know why? She wasn't even in a position. She couldn't believe she could be divinely healed. She wasn't in a place to believe it. See, he could go over there and do that all he wanted. He was praying and going nowhere. Why? She has authority. Her body, her life is under her authority, not his. Now, you get them over. You know, I have done this many times. At least one time, I've gotten numbers of people. I've gotten things for them they couldn't believe for. I don't always go around and tell people. I know they'll say they're trying to believe in an area and they ain't doing it. And I'll pray and believe God. I cannot continue to do that kind of thing. You can, maybe one time you could do it or so, but that's it. If people don't turn around and stand in their authority, they have to learn to do that. That's why it's like I find parents can never get a hold of it. Think because it's their kid, they can just keep making it work all the time. No, they come to a place where they have to walk in the authority that they have. They come to the place that you can't stay ignorant. Just because they reject the things of God don't mean they don't know the things of God. And if they know it, God's going to hold them responsible for that. And you can pray night and day, and that ain't going to change that. Most of the time, people pray wrong. When I get around a person who I know ain't moving in the right direction, I don't pray God to fix the thing for them. I pray for God to bring light to them and understand what's going on. I pray God to reveal things to them because that's what they need. They don't need to get fixed because if they get fixed 10 minutes, they'll be back in the same mess again. I want them to come to the light, and that's what you do. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. You know, he talked about praying for people, sometimes asking for healing, and he said, I didn't pray for their healing. He said, I prayed for other things that they needed more than they need their healing. If they got those other things, they'd get their healing. And so many times people are not doing it. They don't understand. They try to, I'll just use my prayers and usurp your authority. I'll just take over, you know. I'm just Mr. Faith. That's these people. I'll tell you, we're going to get so full of faith, we're just going to go in and clean the hospitals out. I'm going to tell you, if you don't get God, the Holy Ghost don't turn on the gift of faith. You ain't doing that, I'll guarantee you. You'll be in there looking like a fool. You just can't run around and override people's faith. Oh, we're just going to do it. I heard people say that years ago, you talked about it. How come it ain't ever happening? Sometimes God moves in that area in a place, but God anoints somebody and the gift of faith will win. But you don't do those kind of things under your own faith because you can't just go in and usurp authority into areas. You just can't do that. Thank God when he turns that stuff on and it works, that's nice. But no human, I don't know any human say, I'm just going to go down and believe God and just have that to happen. Well, it ain't. Yet I know there's things at times that things like those kind of things happen. The gift of faith went into operation. I've had the gift of faith go into operation. I've had people get healed, delivered, had nothing to do with their faith. Some of them thought it was their faith. They were ignorant, didn't know. Had nothing to do with their faith. Didn't have a thing to do specifically with my faith. The gift of faith kicked on, and man, when that thing kicks in, it's going to happen. I'd say you couldn't stop it from happening for nothing. And that operates as the Spirit wills. If Ed could turn that on and off, my God, I'd be worse off than the devil. I'd be running around trying to heal everybody that didn't need it. And you too, that's why the Holy Ghost handles those things, you know. He's a lot brighter. Brother Hagin said, I would have healed all the wrong people. it's good preaching anyhow. But being subject to these governing authorities, this is why God has established authority. And if we don't understand the guidelines of these things, folks, this is where all the messes start. This is where all it starts, because there's such children about, we've been so much children about these things. Of not really understanding. We just sort of think, I get Christian around, they don't know what they can do or what they can't do. They're always, you know, can I do that? I've had over the years, people come, can I do this or can I do that? Well, it's not just getting me saying, yeah, go ahead and do it. You have to find out the word. You've got to learn to know where your boundaries are of what you can operate in, what you can do. Now, it's a powerful thing when the Christians begin to believe and pray, but this is why it's one thing. Lots of times, dealing with situations, I've asked God specifically, you know, what should I pray about in this situation? Because He sees things in it that I don't see in it. And we want that thing changed. But we need to understand we're dealing with spiritual problems. They're demonic powers that are holding people captive. People never deal with them. They don't ever deal with those demonic powers that are holding a person captive, that's blinding a person. They don't ever deal with those things. What they're doing is just from the natural. Always putting the Band-Aid on. The problem never changes. Not understanding, what authority do I have? So, but understand this. This law doesn't only govern the operations in the physical realm. This law of authority deals with the realm of the spirit. And dealing with the other spirit, we're not talking about, you know, governing just, you know, because if we look into the spirit realm, dealing with actual spirits, what all does this thing cover? What does all of this deal with in when we're looking at jurisdictions on there? Because it says this, the statement is made, all authority. So anything with any being dealing with authority, it covers this whole thing. Every authority, everything of designated authority to any position or place has been designated by God Himself. He says if you cross the lines of authority, the judgment that comes. Now, let me say this. If you would go to the Old Testament and look at the Old Testament, we see these lines that are crossed and the problems it caused. We go back over the one king, I forget what the king's name is. He was a good king of Israel. But he got over, he got a little big-headed because God used him pretty much. And he made this statement. He said, I can offer the incense and that stuff. And he went into the temple. He walked into the temple. Now, he said, he usurped his authority. God made him king, but he was not a priest. The authority, the priests had the authority to offer the sacrifices and everything to God. That was their authority. And you didn't cross that line on that stuff. He went in, I can offer the incense. He went in to offer incense, and it said he became leprous immediately and died. He ended up dying with leprosy. He filled out his years as king as a leper. Why? Cross the line of authority and judgment came. They did it to Moses. Remember those nice crew of people with Moses? We don't need Moses and Aaron anymore. We can talk to God ourselves. So Moses said, hey, you guys get I forget how many it was, like 100 and some guys, and you guys go get your censers and come out here and put incense on before the Lord. And they did, and fire came out of the tabernacle and consumed them, burnt them to death. Why? Well, we don't need the guys, the authorities that God designated. We can do it ourselves. You know, you need to be glad about this. Under the grace of God, it don't happen near as quick. So you can be surely glad you didn't live under the law, because we'd have maybe 7 of us alive today. Everybody else would be dead. America would be a thin place to live in. It'd be long distances between houses. But see, the Bible tells us that those things were written for us, for our admonition. Because the whole point is so we don't do the same stuff. Yet I could go through story after story for scriptures of how people, judgment fell upon them because of their standing against the authority. You stand against the authority. You don't cross the line into authority of what don't belong to you, what God has not given you. Ministers, sometimes people wonder why certain ministers have died prematurely. Some ministers, you know, people say, man, they're pretty good ministers. They stepped over a line of office, and over time, they stepped into offices that weren't theirs. weren't their offices. And you know, they went for a long time doing it, but eventually the devil killed them. God gives people time and space. Brother Hagin actually dropped dead. His heart quit beating over not walking in line with the office he was in. Not walking under his authority, trying to walk under another authority. And God allowed him to repent, and his heart started beating again. Isn't it funny? People don't like to tell them stories. You know, we like those days. Oh, tell me the one that gives me the goosebumps. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Well, I'll tell you, you'll have a lot more goosebumps if you pay attention to those. Because you'll live longer to have them. But see, you know, there's things that is, I've always listened and looked at those things and thought, well, you know, there's lines you don't want to cross. There's lines that you don't want to go into. See, it's people today, well, I could do this or I could do that. They say, you know, concerning ministry and stuff. If you don't have the anointing, you stay away from it. Because eventually it'll open the door where say you're going to step into an area that doesn't belong to you and judgment will come. And people won't, I don't understand. They were doing such good things. Why did that happen to them? So this is what the church does. Well, sometimes God kills good people. He needed another star in heaven, or he needed... That's where all that religious junk comes from. That's where all that religious rot comes from. It's because of the ignorance of the church. So they make up their own religion and their own ideas, and they don't know. Because sometimes, you know, you don't know. Maybe you don't know that individual. You know, I've been around people already. I knew that they were outside their office, and I knew that they were outside. I knew, now, that isn't all the time. You don't always know that with people. But I knew they were outside their office, and I knew some things. I knew it was causing them some problems. They were having problems in their life. But they were over in an area they should not have been in. It's one of the things, it's like the church world today. All the churches, everybody wants to do the same, have the same types of ministry, same stuff. Everybody's trying to do copy. If a guy gets big doing a certain thing, everybody wants to run and jump, and they do that. Get out right outside of there. Next thing you know, they ain't following God. Oh, they're following some planned men. They say, oh, look at all the nice things that are happening. Eventually, it'll crash. That's why we've had so many crashes over the years, things that have gone. Mega church, just like last week I was talking about, you know, a guy, mega church down in Florida. Man, guy was anointed by God, started off, got out into nutty stuff, got out into things. He ain't got no mega church today. Got outside his office, got outside of walking in love, got outside the thing. And I'm going to tell you, the laws judged him. He can't blame God for it. He can't blame the devil for it. The devil got in, but it was because of him getting outside of those things. Even though God used him powerfully and done things. God can't stand there. You can't just keep doing things and end up everything working out all right for you. You need to understand this. And Jesus said the statement in Luke 16 and verse 12 said, and if you have not been faithful for what is another man's, who will give you what is yours? I want you to understand this. You will never enter into the perfect will of God in your life till you have submitted to somebody else's authority and carried out what they want you to do. When I graduated from Raymond, I've told the story many times, and the Lord spoke to me. It was the month of May. We were just getting ready. We had like a week of school there in the beginning of May and getting ready for a graduation from Bible school there. And I remember the Lord speaking to me. I was walking down to the auditorium. We were going to have praise and worship. They had a time of praise and worship. I'm walking down through, just sort of minding my own business. I'd left class and heading down through. The Lord spoke to me. He said, because you've been faithful with other people's ministries that I've given you to, he said, I'm going to put you in your own ministry. It's right in line with that scripture. It's a time of faithfulness. See, most people have never been faithful. Most people want to get in and feel they have a call to a ministry, become the most unfaithful people. They're always trying to get into the ministry. You never have to try to get into the ministry. I never had to try to get into the ministry. I don't have to try to get into the ministry. If I prove myself faithful, God, Paul said, God put me in the ministry. Paul said, God put him, God will put you in it. Man can't keep you out of it. Well, this person, they won't let me. You don't worry about somebody else. That's why I've never run around and asked anybody else, you know, about me preaching or me doing anything. I've never asked around. If God, if that's my job is to chase people down and try to get something, I mean, dear Lord, forget it. God will put you in the ministry. Understand this, as a Christian, to get into the perfect will of God, you understand. One of my big things is where I worked at Reese's is proving my faithfulness there. That was the start. of concerning going to the ministry. I began to prove myself faithful there and working there, and God started opening doors of ministry to me even before I went to Bible school. But I'll tell you, it was because of learning to be faithful, submitting to God. You know, it wasn't always easy on my flesh, man. My flesh was pretty used to doing what it wanted. And it wasn't easy on my flesh. But having to learn to being around them and that stuff and letting and how to learn to stay within my boundaries and things, being faithful. I became, I was a faithful worker there. I mean, I was faithful on my job, good at my job, did my job, didn't go out and hang out and, sit in the bathroom half the time and that stuff, doing all the stuff. I stayed on my job, did what I was supposed to do. They look forward to me coming, because I found this out. I don't care if those rulers don't even like you. They love it when you're there if you do your job. Man, they like having you there because they would certainly see you there even than their buddies, the ones that go along with the junk. When they want to get a job done, they don't go get their buddies. When they want a job done, they go look for the guy who's faithful. The guys that they promote, they don't even look for. They go looking for you. We give him this job, it'll get done. You know what? God's looking at that. Because if you're not one of those people, God knows this, he can't give you a job because you won't be faithful at it. Our faithfulness is proved out of what we do around others. Let me say this now, just in closing, and we'll pick up next week into this area. But dealing with the areas of jurisdiction, what we're talking about is a spiritual jurisdiction, just as a range of authority. It's a jurisdiction. It's a scope or boundaries. It's designed by limitation. It can have however the limits. There's certain limits on it, maybe certain, of what it is. In the natural, we say by distance and that stuff. But it's dealing with this authority, and really the authority is the right to command, enforce, or intervene in a matter. That's what authority is. Authority is the right to command, enforce, or intervene in a manner. Okay, then I need to come to the place to understand the limits where my authority, how the extent of my authority. How far does my authority go? How far can I use, in other words, how far can I go to intervene on something? What can I do? An intervention. I need to know those things. I need to understand that stuff. It's just, we have like, if you take like, say, look, we have a state here, in our state of Pennsylvania. There's a boundaries around here. So we have, say, a governor. Our governor is in charge of here in Pennsylvania. Now, he's not the governor. And he has no say over New Jersey, Ohio, New York, West Virginia or Maryland. He has no say. Delaware, he doesn't command there. He is within his jurisdiction of his authority lies within Pennsylvania. Then you go within Pennsylvania, we have, counties. And we have counties within Pennsylvania. And also you go down and you have, just like we have, townships and all this stuff. All these are laid out in areas of authority. In other words, there's places, and you see this all the time. You go across this nation. And all of them operate by some different laws and rules. Now, we have some federal laws that go across the state, all the state lines. But you need to understand, like I can be, driving down at 65 miles an hour and hit the next state, and next state's 55 miles an hour on that same highway that's under their jurisdiction. Under their jurisdiction, you know what they're going? You're going to 65, the cops over there waiting for you to come down that road, hit it over there at 65, and there's a sign going, and judgment falls. Well, it does. That's what it happens. You're going along, but we need to understand. We look in the natural. We have all this that goes on. You go from place to place. I found this out. Ignorance of the rules of the jurisdiction don't count. Ignorance of those rules don't count. You go into them and say, "Oh, hold it! This don't apply to you." You just make your own laws. This is people today. They just make their own, and then they complain. Well, they did this and they did that. But hold it! There's laws, the things that they have a right to govern, they have a right to rule, and they set up their rules in those areas. And we need to know that that exists. It's the same well in the realm of the spirit. The way the laws work, if I step over in another authority, like here in Pennsylvania has certain guidelines and authorities. Like this woman here in Pennsylvania had a right to a license to carry a concealed weapon, but she went to New Jersey where she didn't, and she was arrested for carrying a concealed weapon in New Jersey. All these people are yelling over here. Well, they shouldn't do that to her. They shouldn't arrest her and let her go. It was just a mistake. Well, what all the other five, how many people have been arrested carrying a weapon? Hold it. Say, how far you want to go? You know, I just want to say something to you. The Lord showed me something concerning this thing. You know, Mexico, and we talk about this, they say this Marine down there who got caught in Mexico, and Americans are throwing a fit about this Marine down there. The Lord spoke to me about something. You know that judge down there in Mexico? He don't have the right to release that guy. See, we're so used to America, we get mad at Obama breaking the law, and the Christians are always asking the government to break the law. Always asking the government to. Their jurisdiction down there on that. The laws that are on the books in Mexico, they can't. The judge would be actually breaking their law if they released him and didn't do anything. There is no. They don't have the guidelines on the things is certain sentence, and that's it. That's what it is. And now what the Americans are saying, hey, let's get out here and do this. He said, well, this guy made a mistake, you know, going in there and took a gun and things. He didn't know it. But what do we do? What about, because I guarantee you there's thousands and thousands of guys that are going in there taking guns in. And if they get caught, can they do the same thing because they're American? See, we need to be careful how we judge things and the areas of authority. This judge stays in the line of his areas of authority, and the Americans think he's evil. Why? Because the Americans break the law all the time and cheer when people do it, even the Christians. We're down there running, they're down here running this judge down here, and he's doing his job. He's staying within the bounds of his authority. If authorities over him could change the rule if they wanted to, but he ain't going to do it. He's not like the American court system that does its laws any way it feels like at the time for whomever it wants and just ignores law. It lowers jurisdictions. It ignores everything. We need to be very careful of how we deal with things with people. You know, it seemed to me, you know, this guy, you know, goes down through there and he goes down into the man and they say, well, you know, it's, I don't personally don't know as his mind. I don't know if he's as innocent as he says he is because I don't know him and I'm not going to jump and say they're all bad and he's all good. I don't care if he was a Marine. I was in the military and I'll tell you, some guys in the military were downright terrible people. And they were serving for our country, but they did evil all the time. Don't make him a good person. Just now, thank God he did serve. But he shouldn't get out because he's in the military. He was in the military. Is that going to be the thing? If you get in the military, then you law don't count. Do we want that? See, that's why we need to start to think about what all this stuff is yelling at and saying. Let's see, but we step over the bounds of authority with our mouth. And we go over those bounds of authority in our ignorance and start saying things, calling a righteous man evil, this bad judge. He ain't an American. He don't follow the American law. Don't matter what the American law says about it. He's a judge in Mexico. Mexico got loads and thousands of people dying every year from guns from the drug dealers and stuff. They ain't doing. You think our cities are bad? They ain't nothing. We're talking tens of thousands down in southern Mexico. Tens of thousands of people die in a year. They're dealing with a terrible problem. It's not easy for them. My God, they can't hardly keep their military and there's so much money in this drug trade. Then their soldiers and their police are bought off all the time. The people that are trying to do right are having a terrible, terrible time at it. And when somebody comes along with a gun, how does he know? How do they know down there this guy's a gun? He's toting a gun into there. Because I want to tell you what, you could take one gun down there and sell it for a pretty price. They pay you big money for guns. That's why I'm not going to sit around, I'm not going to knock. I don't know what all is going on. You want to see the guy, you know, say being nice. I don't know what all is going on with it or not. He said certain things. He said, she said. I want to tell you this. I don't know if any of it's true. I have no clue. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I didn't ride with him in his pickup truck when he went down there and went across the border. I wasn't there. We're just taking his word for it. He may very well be telling the truth, but I don't know for sure. I don't know. So we need to be careful how we deal with these things. Because, see, we step over the lines of authority. So we need to learn to watch this stuff because we get caught up with all this stuff going on and what we think's right and what we think's wrong. Mexico has its rights set by God dealing with its boundaries. We have a choice. If you don't like the rules, stay home. If you don't like, you go down there. It's one thing I can tell you. You go down to Mexico. You don't have car insurance, insurance on your car, the Mexican insurance. You go down there, and they tell people all the time, don't you be driving down to Mexico. You make sure you get their insurance or whatever, because most American insurance don't cover stuff down in Mexico, loads of stuff. And you know what? You get an accident down there, you'll be in jail. You'll go to jail. Loads of Americans do because they don't pay no attention to it. It's their law. They're making sure things are covered under their country that you turn around, you go home. Because I'll guarantee you, most Americans wouldn't pay no attention to whether things ever got fixed. They're protecting themselves. They have that right to do that. I don't care if their law seems bad. I'm sorry, they have the right to do that. That's under their governing authority, whether I like it or not. I don't live down there. I have a choice. Go to Mexico or not go to Mexico. Well, if I think it's too bad, then I don't have to go. Thank God. I don't want all the countries in the world to be like America. Dear God. But see, we're living in lawlessness today, and one of the reasons we're living in lawlessness is because of people overstepping boundaries. Everybody. So let's, you know, we're not going to throw rocks at just any certain person. We need to be very careful in these areas because when we do these things, we set in motion things that cause a lot of problems in the areas of the spirit realm. We wonder why things and blessing don't take place like we'd like to or things like that. We need to understand that there's these laws and rules, and we're going to begin to look at these things. What we'll do is begin to look at spirit beings and what the scripture says, their boundaries of authority and how in operation they are. You know, I've watched many Christians trying to be God. They try to operate in God's authority. They try to get over there on their side and operating and what's God's part to do, and they try to do it and it don't work. Or they're over here trying to do somebody else's thing, or they're trying to do, and we have to watch ourselves. And we're going to find out. The Bible does say some specific things concerning lines of authority. And they're helpful to you when you understand it. If you don't understand what to do in an area, that's where we turn around and you need led by the Spirit. See, you can't always just, the book doesn't always just explain everything out in detail that you'll face in life. And that's why if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you're not going to learn a lot of things. You know, you can read the book, but you know, they can't, just like any book. Anybody could write any book and not everything's in the manual. But we have a wonderful thing because we have the Holy Ghost and He'll explain things to us in the situations that we're in. There's things that you can enter into to begin to intercede for an individual where you can get in and hook up with God on things where you can touch into things you might be able to step over in some areas of dealing with some things that normally you wouldn't be able to. But you're going to have to find out about doing those things and how to operate in those things. So one of the things is praying in tongues. You pray outside of what your mind is. And that's good because your minds are flaky. Get over it. Your minds are flaky. Your mind's like mine. You know, I can understand so far, and that's it. I mean, and your mind. My natural mind is limited. It is limited in its ability. And if it doesn't, if you don't get over in the things of the Spirit, and you don't get over and understand in those areas and getting hooked up over in those areas, there's things you're going to never comprehend, you're never going to come to, you're never going to go there. You just ain't going to find it just sitting down just reading the book. You're going to have to listen to the Holy Ghost and let Him teach you, let Him tell you things that you need to be doing. And sometimes they don't line up with what people say you ought to be doing. Because people, even their little religious modes, they're doing things in different ways. And people are, you know, this is the way we do it. You know, this is the way we've always done it. Well, probably ain't worked in 50 years if you've been always doing it. Because you don't always do the same thing every time. And that's why we have to understand these things. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I was just doing some introductory today. This is just in the introduction here so we can go on and talk about these areas. Because we'll find out. It's not to put us in any, we're not getting condemnation, but we need to find out the truth about things so we know where we stand and where we are. I found out this when God began to teach me concerning my lines of authority. One thing is I found out, it relieved a lot of pressure off of me. Is when I was stepping over lines of authority, what I was doing is taking things on myself that were not mine, and therefore I couldn't carry it out, do nothing about it. And so my inability then turned around and led me to worrying and, you know, and everything else. And, oh, man, you know, and you're trying to fix. Do you ever try to fix what you can't fix? Isn't that miserable? Do you ever get over there trying to fix something and you can't fix it and just you don't back off from it. You just keep make yourself miserable. You ever been there? Ever been there and done that? And all of a sudden, I've done already. And finally, you step in and I say, what on earth am I doing? What an ignoramus. Let's get somebody who knows what they're doing. Have them do this thing. I've done more myself out, caused myself so much trouble. Because I was going to save a dollar and turn around and just made life miserable for myself. Oh, wasn't worth the money. I'll tell you, it wasn't worth the money. That means we don't try to learn things and do stuff. You surely want to do that. But you go to the extent, and this is what people do in their entire, they spend their whole life trying to fix everything that they can't fix. They spend their whole life there. I've never met a person who does that that ain't in to worry all the time. They're always worried about things. They're always worried about something. There always are. And folks, I'm not knocking anybody for that, because I know that's the result. I've been there. I know that's what happens. You get over those areas. You can't change it. Then you get frustrated. The next thing you know, you're mad at the person you were trying to help because they didn't change. And then it just goes on. And after a while, it's like, oh my God, my prayers don't work. And what's wrong with me? I just... And then the devil will come along and he'll say, oh, now we got the idiot where we want him now. Now I'm going to tell him what a knucklehead he is. What a failure in life he is. Oh, you might as well laugh. It's happened, hasn't it? You been there? You ever get under that kind of weight? Well, this is what it's about. It's about getting us out from under that. Quit trying to play God and be God. It's where you can laugh again and smile again, and you can stand in your part, carry out what you need to do without kind of worries and fear, that you don't have to take the burden of everybody else and what's going on in everybody else's life. Take it as some kind of personal thing that you have to change and fix. Man, was that a good thing for me to find out? Hallelujah. I found out I didn't have to worry so much about straightening Wanda out, because I found out that was my God. I wouldn't have had time to do nothing else. Just getting there. But the whole thing of it is, but you know what? My idea was, when I came in the kingdom, that God had to break that in me. It wasn't my job to straighten her out. That's not my job. But now, you know what? I had a position of authority, and I could use my position of authority. It wasn't a dominating rule over her, but I could use my position of authority to help her change. I could do that. But still, she had to develop and grow and grow in herself. But I could, by walking right, help to set an atmosphere to help her so she could grow and walk right. See, if I'm walking and stepping over, that's what we have, husbands and wives stepping over the lines all the time, causing the confusion, blaming the other person. Woo, good preaching in. Hallelujah. Been there, done that. See, I know, I'm talking about it. I know what it is to do it. Cause problems, and then God would always come along and rebuke me for it. And I used to wonder why he wouldn't rebuke her for it. Well, he may have been, but he wasn't saying that to me. He was rebuking me for what Ed was doing. And so we need that getting straightened out all the time. Amen? Now, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you this morning because of your great graciousness and your kindness to us. And I want to thank you, Father God. Father, we're not standing, any of us, before you as if we've hit the mark every time. Lord God, we've all stepped over boundaries in time. But I want to thank you, Father God, for instructing us and, Lord God, helping us get out of trouble.